Someone is staring at you in personal growth.
Imagine me and you. I do.
I know him.
I think about you day and night.
You know, the first time we met, I really didn't like you that much.
Think about the girl you love.
I didn't like you.
Yeah, you did.
So happy together.
You look like a normal person, but actually you are the angel of death.
I can't see me loving nobody but you for all my life.
You are a human affront to all women, and I am a woman.
When you're with me, baby, the skies will be blue.
Yes! Yes!
Want to spend the night in a motel?
Welcome back to another episode of the Three Amigos Movie Review Podcast. This week we're going to be reviewing the 1989 rated R movie, When Harry Met Sally. My name is David.
I'm Chris.
I'm Jose.
And I'm Peter.
All right, so we're going to jump into first and, well, what, just quick catching up. Say what you guys have been up to. Let's start with Jose. What have you been up to since the last time we recorded?
Oh, man. Well, since this is a movie podcast, I'm just going to go through the entertainment stuff I've been up to. Obviously, The Last of Us show has just taken over my life. It's amazing. If you guys aren't watching, I highly recommend it. And besides, you know, the movie that we did for today's episode, the other movie I have watched recently was The Banshees of Inisherin, which I think is up for an Academy Award. So those are my two pop culture things since last time.
All right, Chris, what have you been up to, man?
Not too much. Just been focusing on work. I've been stressed out about it. And so thank God you recommended, or we did this movie like it's right after the last one, because I've been needing some some R&R. So this is my stress reliever. But yeah, not too much.
You guys just been busy or anything?
No, I've been in the process of switching over to from a contractor over to Roush.
Oh, and nice. So, that's good, dude.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Except the process has been really stressful and complicated. So it's
Is it we're the, moving is along. It the, is it the drug test?
I haven't gotten a drug test yet. I hope I don't fail it too, because I let my buddy borrow my truck and I got it back smelling like complete full of weed and shit.
No, you won't fail it. Okay. Anything else?
Nope. No, I'm good.
All right, Peter, what have you been up to?
Oh, I've been watching The Last of Us also. I haven't seen the third episode, but we just rewatched the first and the second episode with Audrey, and she's loving it too.
All right, anything else, Peter?
Nope, that's it.
All right, for me, the last week, I went mountain biking yesterday, and like it was the first time I did a Black Diamond Trail, which was like pretty hard up there, and I was pretty freaking stoked about it. It was pretty cool.
When are you not mountain biking, dude?
Like, yeah, like, but like this is like there's five tiers of like difficulty, and I just for the first time I did a whole fourth tier. I was literally on top of a mountain, like driving down the spine of it, and like cliff faces on both sides. It was like super, it was so beautiful, and like it was really cool. And I was listening to the Night at the Roxbury soundtrack while I was doing it. It's so cool.
I just don't want to hear about you. Like, I don't want you to end up like Joseph Gordon-Levitt in 128 Hours.
Where he's sawing off his arm or whatever.
Yeah.
Nah, he's just going to come back like singing Hot Away for like 2 weeks straight.
Okay, so that's what I've been up to. You guys ready to jump into this movie?
Let's
do it.
Yep.
All right. Let's start off with Rob Reiner. He directs this movie. Are you guys familiar with his works?
Mm-hmm. The Princess Bride.
I am not. I actually am familiar with the name, but I don't think I'm familiar with his work.
So check this out. This is crazy. I'm going to name off some of the ones that stand out to me a lot.
Sleepless he was also in Seattle. Also.
He was also in the. I don't know if he did Sleepless in Seattle. But these are the ones that I wrote down. Stand By Me, Princess Bride, When Harry Met Sally, Misery, mm-hmm. A Few Good Men. Like, what's insane is those are all, in my opinion, great movies, and they're completely different from each other. They don't even feel like the same director made those movies. Kind of like, yeah, if you watch like a Spielberg or a Scorsese movie, you can kind of feel like the feeling of those, all their movies feel the same, you know? If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to go into, or do you guys have anything on Rob Reiner, Peter, or Chris, or Jose?
Oh, I thought he directed, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, oh, you go ahead.
I thought he directed Sleepless in Seattle, but he didn't. I think he had I don't know if he produced it or what, but yeah, I spoke out of turn. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I just want to say that I originally fell in love with Rob Reiner from A Few Good Men. And like you said, his works like vary like substantially, you know, like it doesn't feel like it's the same director, you know, in every movie that he does. So I don't know. Is he still in the game, or is he like retired? Like,
I don't know. I think he's still doing some stuff, but I haven't watched his recent stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But all right, so we'll jump into first thoughts. I don't, Jose, these guys have a pretty good history for hating the movies that I pick. So I like starting it off with on a good note. So I'll go first on these first thoughts. And then if they hate it, I won't mind so much. But all right, so this movie is kind of special to me. I saw it as a younger guy, and I've watched it throughout the years, and now I'm 35, and I kind of think I'm the same age as these characters at the end of the movie. And this movie visits Harry and Sally at three different points in their lives, and I think it really shows like the distinction between men and women growing up and getting older, and it just holds a special place for me. So that's my, and it has changed, like viewing it over the years. Like, I couldn't relate to old Harry or older Harry. 35 is not old or whatever, but I couldn't relate to him as a 20-year-old. So that's my first impressions. We'll jump to Chris. What's your first impressions of having watched this?
You know, this is my first time watching it, and I've heard about it. The only thing I knew about it was the orgasm restaurant scene going into it. And I got to say, I was really impressed with this movie. But, you know, that's Rob Reiner, you know, like he does quality shit, you know, and so I'm not too surprised. The only thing is that this movie left me, if I had watched this movie like when I, like 10, 15 years ago, when I was still married and happy, then I would have loved this movie. I would have left this movie feeling like giddy and like excited about, you know, being in love and all that. And now I watched it, and I feel depressed after it.
Oh, shit, dude.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. But you thought it was a good flick overall?
Oh, yeah. On a technical standpoint, like, it's a really well-done movie.
All right, Pierre, you're up.
Yeah, I watched it as a teenager, and yeah, I can't really say too much bad about it. It's not a perfect movie, but I really enjoyed it. Got too much more than that. Go. All
right, Jose.
My impressions, I mean, I'm very similar to what Chris posted. I had very little to nothing to know about this movie outside of I had Billy Crystal. Well, a Billy Crystal and a Meg Ryan that lived very, very young. My first impression was like, I'll say this much before giving out grades or anything like that, that when I started watching it, I was actually like in the process of making breakfast. I thought I'd make breakfast, watch a movie, good to go. Well, it got me gross enough in some of the opening dialogue scenes between the two characters that I overcooked my bacon. So that's my first impression. It was good enough to overcook it, guys.
That's awesome. Oh, I'm kind of happy this hasn't happened. People like my fucking movie. All right. Let's see.
Hey, not finally having gone to the grade there, right?
Okay.
Just wait, Jose. He's gonna pick some bad ones, so don't use this as a precursor.
Okay.
All right. Well, do you guys just want to jump into best lines and worst lines?
Sure.
Well, I guess let's go with Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan first. Let's see, Peter, anything to say about those two characters or anyone else in the movie, like Carrie, Princess Leia, what's her name?
No, it's always kind of cool to see her in something other than Star Wars. But I don't think I've ever seen a Billy Crystal movie that I disliked, probably. And my wife, she can't stand Meg Ryan, but I don't mind her at all, actually.
Why? Why can't she stand her?
I don't know. It's just one of those things, you know, everybody has one of those actors or actresses you can't stand, but she would not watch this movie with me because she dislikes her so much.
Okay. I get it. Like, I don't agree, but I have characters that I don't want to watch.
I mean, they she's not been peaceful. Come on.
Not Clint Eastwood, is that what you said?
I said Vin Diesel.
Oh, okay. All right, Jose, what do you think about any actors in this movie?
Outside of them looking very, very young, I thought they played the roles very well. It was, you know, I saw the Carrie Fisher name on the opening credits, and then I guess just because of her hair or something, I completely whiffed on seeing her like as a character until like halfway through the movie. I was like, oh wait, that's Carrie Fisher? Holy crap. I thought they had good chemistry especially for these types of movies in this genre. You know, I think that's pretty crucial. If the two main actresses, they don't have a good chemistry, then you know, it just ruins the watching experience. But I think from an acting standpoint, they both did very well, hit out of the park. And I can see why Meg Ryan kept getting these types of roles later in her career after this film.
I forgot to mention that this is our Valentine's Day, like, movie flick. Valentine's is less than 2 weeks away, so we're going to try to edit this and get this out to the masses. All right, Chris, what do you think about the actors in this movie?
I was going to save this for my deep dive, but I have to kind of disagree with Jose a little bit. Like, partially, because Meg Ryan looks really young. Billy Crystal, I don't know. Does it feel like to you guys? Like, I don't know. It just seems like the aging process throughout this movie, like, is a little bit off.
He like, just stayed the same, kind of, right?
It feels like Harry ages like 20 years and throughout the movie, and Sally doesn't age at all.
Well, Chris, I just want to say that if you've seen Billy Crystal within the past 10 years, that was a young Billy Crystal, okay?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, everything I know about Billy Crystal is, it's way over. So this, yeah, he looks old in the movie, but he looks way young to me. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, yeah, you're right. He does look young in the movie. I just have a weird, I don't know, I get a weird vibe like for his like the time lapse that he goes through. Like, it feels like he starts out at like 20 years old in the beginning of the movie, and by the end of it he looks like he's 40 or 45, you know.
He was born geriatric. Is that what you're saying?
Hey,
it's great.
Hair loss affects men at different ages. Start as early as in 20s, right, Chris? If you have something against people that lose their hair, you know, you said it, I didn't, you know.
All right, but yeah, they did their jobs. You know, they did really well in the as their characters.
What's crazy in this movie is Sally's hair and clothes change pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
At the beginning of the movie, she looks like she's going spelunking with those crazy shorts, you know. And then she, like, what dates this movie is the clothes that the people are wearing, especially Sally, throughout the whole movie. It's pretty insane. But that's 1989.
Yeah.
And I can't believe that this movie was rated R. Maybe it's the orgasm scene, probably, right?
It's rated R?
This is a rated R movie, dude.
Holy, I thought you were joking when you said that.
No, this is a rated R movie. But that's probably it, right? An orgasm scene in a fucking restaurant.
That's unbelievable. 80s movie that's rated R with zero cocaine.
All right, so like for me, I'm a big Billy Crystal fan. And what's crazy, I kind of almost love Meg Ryan. But Peter brought up the movie Sleepless in Seattle. And I kind of think she's like a despicable character in that film. Have you guys seen that movie? Sleepless in Seattle?
Yeah, it's a good watch.
Oh, shit. Have you seen that recently, Peter, or no?
Yeah, I watched it with Audrey.
She's a pretty horrible person, I think, in that movie.
I watched it with Audrey because Jackie wouldn't watch it again.
Okay. Let's see. All right, let's jump into the best lines and worst lines. Let's start with Chris. What was your best line from this movie?
Okay, so my best line was actually a joke. And, you know, all the writing is really good. It was actually stellar, you know, like it just every interaction, every piece of dialogue in this movie, it really grabs your attention, you know, and it holds you, you know, to every word that they say, you know, like it, because every conversation has like a deep meaning behind it, you know. But so I just had to pick something that stood out for me. And it was a joke when, and this is after they become friends, and Harry is talking to Sally about a date he had, and he made the joke, and he said, "Hey, I didn't know they had food in Ethiopia."
Oh, shit. That's fucked up, right?
Yeah, it was such a good dark joke. I love dark comedy, so.
So for like the people that don't know, Ethiopia is like a really poor country where everyone's starving, right?
Yeah.
All right. Do you guys have anything on that, Jose or Peter, before we move on?
I would not have said that on a first date. Yeah, that's all I'll say.
But yeah, I didn't have a worst line though.
Okay, sweet. All right, Jose, best line from this movie?
Oh man, put me on the spot. I think, you know, Billy's dialogue at the very end, monologue really, is pretty good. But I'm probably sure we're going to discuss that in a lot more detail. And I don't have the direct quote, but for me, one of the, I guess, I don't know if it's best, but it was pretty funny to me, was when they're at the batting cages and he's with his friend. And he's talking about, like, yeah, you know, he has this friend that he's attracted to, he's not having sex with, and that he doesn't want to. He doesn't have the urge. He says, "Yeah, I'm growing." And then immediately, he's all, "That's a sign of growth." Immediately, like, this kid comes up talking about, like, how it's his turn of batting cages, and he completely turns into this immature man child after he says, "I'm growing." So I thought that was, like, hilarious. He's like, "Scoot, get out of here." And he makes him, like, a dumb, mean, like, looking face or something, just completely childish. So I thought that was funny. Worst line, it has to be for me, which was earlier in the movie, when it's after they've been in New York. It's the first time jump, I believe. It's 5 years after they've both been in New York, and Sally's with her friends at lunch, I believe, and she had broken up with Joe, and they're all talking about it. And then Carrie Fisher's character, I forget her name, she says, "Hey, you know, you don't want to end up like, you know, so-and-so. You don't want to be alone. You know, oh, what happened?" Well, I guess they ended up alone, and then 2 weeks later they died. And they're all just discussing this, and you're like, "Well, you know, you should get married before this." Like, what? You know, but, and then die? And one of the other friends, not Carrie Fisher, not Sally, says, "Well, at least, if you die, at least you could say you were married." And I just, like, thought that was so cringy. Like, you know, it's just so weird because, you know, it's an 80s movie. So it has, like, I guess the values of those times. And, you know, at least you could say you were married. It's like, you know, for a woman just to be independent, like, that's not enough. Like, you know, it was seen as something that you must do in life. I thought that was too, very dated and cringy.
I thought
Peter, what do you got on that line?
I thought you were gonna say, Jose, that your worst line was somebody could be married to your husband. I thought that's what you were gonna say.
You'd have to go the rest of your life knowing someone else married your husband.
Yeah.
I mean, that whole conversation was like was not it. I disliked that whole scene practically.
Yeah.
So as engrossing as some of the opening dialogues and some of the opening scenes were, David, I guess when 50 minutes, that whole scene was like the vibe was off for me. I'm like, oh, I'm not liking this. I better pick up from here because this looks like it was already started off on a very wrong road. I wanted to start really disliking this film as a product of the 80s, but you know what? It redeemed itself, like, because that was the most cringe fest scene out of the whole movie.
You got anything on that, Chris?
Well, I'll save it for the deep dive because, you know, there's a lot I want to talk about, like love and marriage and all that. But yeah, it was, this movie does have like some dated moments and themes, you know, behind it. So, but we'll get into it later.
I'm going to throw this in just on that scene real quick. I don't know this and I might get a lot of shit for this, but one of the things I like about this movie is that, I think marriage is, like, the advice she is giving her is despicable, right? Like, you should just get married to say that you were married. That's like fucking horrible advice. But like, I think that marriage means a lot to women in general. It's like a lot more than it does to men. You know what I mean? I think that's what I can't speak to what they were trying to do, but that's what I take from it. It's like a stupid conversation. But
so you think the message that they're trying to convey, it's the importance of marriage to an adult woman, but the execution was awful.
Well, like, what I'm trying to say is that, like, that was
the message being conveyed. The execution could have been better. And okay, like, I'm not gonna like completely rip it apart, but you know, I understand that this film wasn't made, you know, recently, but still, like, I mean, you know, there's progress to be made on a lot of fronts, but still, to me, yeah, this is at least.
I get it. It is. It's horrible advice and it's stupid, but I think it's meant to, like, we'll just leave it there before we go down that rabbit hole.
Can I say something real quick?
Go ahead.
So, if you are listening to this podcast and you are a female, then it'd be nice to get your opinion on that scene. So, it'd be nice if somebody wrote in and told us what they think of that scene.
Did you guys watch this with any girls?
Nope.
I was like Billy Crystal on New Year's at the end.
I watched this with Casey, my girlfriend, and I kept pausing and asking her questions until she yelled at me to stop pausing it, so I didn't get to ask her too much. But she loves this movie. All right, so... anybody else's best lines and worst lines? Chris, did you do yours?
Yeah.
Peter?
No, I'll do my best and worst. My best line of this movie was when Harry was taking his friend to meet up with the with Sally's best friend. And
the double date.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, the double date.
Yeah, the double date. And the two guys are talking about, is she attractive or does she have a good personality? That was pretty spot on with a whole like 60 seconds of that, the meaning of, does she have a good personality, you know? And yes. Does it mean that she's unattractive, you know? I like that. The dialogue, it was pretty good. So that dialogue's better than a lot of fucking movies, I think. Like, that's, it was a very small part of this movie, but a lot of dialogue these days, there's not much in it. And yeah, it was a quick, you know, 30 seconds or something, but it was a good, that was my best line. You guys got anything on that?
Nope.
Yeah, like, I have to say, like how I was saying earlier, you know, like, even like the small scenes, you know, the small pieces of dialogue in this movie, like every interaction that goes on to this movie leaves you questioning and asking yourself, you know, like, it gives you kind of like a little bit of perspective, you know, like, or it makes you think in retrospect, you know, like, how does this, how do I feel about this, you know, and Yeah, I just had to say that's another good one.
All right, Peter, what's your worst line from this movie?
Well, I don't have a worst line. I didn't really I didn't nitpick it though. I guess I could have found something, but nothing jumped out like really horrible to me.
Okay, so Peter loves this movie and thinks it's perfect. All right.
Did everybody give their worst lines though?
I think I gotta do my best and worst. Did you, Jose and Chris, did you guys do your worst lines? I don't know if you had
them. Yeah, I didn't have Chris,
yeah. Okay, you guys are gonna think my best line's a joke, but I'm serious about it, and it's why I like this movie a lot. When they meet for the third time, they start talking about why their relationships broke up, and they're sitting in the restaurant or like a diner or something. And Sally's saying why she broke up with Joe. She wanted a family, and Joe didn't. And my best line comes from Harry. Well, she's like, "We're so lucky because we could fly to Rome on the like a second's notice, and we can have sex on the kitchen floor." And she says, "You know, Joe, we don't ever fly to Rome." And then Harry says, "Well, like, and the kitchen floor?" He's asking her if they banged on the kitchen floor. And she's like, we didn't even do it once. And it's really funny to me because, like, he's a guy, you know, and he was like imagining her having sex on the kitchen floor.
Oh my
God. And then, like, but it reminds after she's like, "We never had sex," it's just like a hard Mexican ceramic, and just his face, he's like, "Oh, okay," and he's just like ready for the rest of the story. Oh no, that's my best line from this movie. And then do you guys have anything on that before we move on?
I do, but I'm gonna have to save it for later.
Yeah, same.
Okay. I don't have a worse line. All right, I want to jump into the obscure line that Peter's gonna quote, the game of the podcast.
What do you want to do, the worst scenes first?
Nah, let's just do the line real quick, because okay, we're doing all the lines.
All right, let me grab it. It's on my phone.
Well, this is the part of the podcast where one of the hosts is going to quote a famous line from a blockbuster movie, and the other hosts have to guess where this quote came from. And this week, Peter's going to say the quote, and the rest of us are going to try to guess where it came from, and you guys can play along at home.
Okay, I don't think I did this one yet. But here goes. Is life always this hard? Or is it just when you're a kid? Is life always this hard? Or is it just when you're a kid?
Kill girls.
What was it?
Kill girls.
Kill girls?
Showgirls.
Showgirls.
I don't think it's showgirls.
I have no idea. That seems like such a... Like, you could have made that up right now. Doesn't seem like it's from a movie. And if it is,
yeah,
I would be upset if I know this book or if I've seen it. And I would be even more upset if it's a movie that I haven't seen and only you like
it. I've heard it, but me and Peter watched the same shit for half of my life. So, oh no, Chris, do you got it?
I have no fucking idea. Just like Jose said, you know, it sounds really broad. You know, it's just like it could fit into any movie.
I'm gonna throw out Roxanne with Steve Martin, but I don't think I'm right.
I'll give you a hint. Okay, so the next line that goes after that by a different character, he says, "Always like this."
What the fuck?
All right, you guys give up?
Yeah, I give up.
I most definitely
do. It's The Professional. It's Natalie Portman when she's talking.
Oh, okay. I see it. Yeah.
And she just got a bloody nose from her dad, and she's sitting outside and on the stairwell, and she says that to him, and he's like, "It's always like this."
Do you really like that movie?
Yeah, it's a good movie.
It's a good movie, so that's why I'm gonna reserve my my theater. But that was out of all the quotes in that movie, that was like, come on, like that was such a broad.
Here's a good. That's a hard one. Yeah, there's a good line from that movie. It's like, I'm tired of this Mickey Mouse bullshit. Do you remember that?
Yeah, like, that could have been better. You know what? I'm gonna quote the Terminator next week, and it's gonna be like, "Good morning, how are you?" Instead, I think once. Yeah, come on, Peter.
Well, all right, let's jump into
it. It was kind of a hard one, but
that was a good one, though.
It should be a point for me.
All right, so we're gonna jump into the best scenes and worst scenes from this movie. Let's jump to Jose. What was your favorite scene from this movie?
Oh man, you know what? I'm gonna go for the meltdown. I'm gonna go for the meltdown because it says a lot about like all of the characters there
at the wedding, or what?
No. After. So it starts out, well, it's not really, I guess it's like almost like a scene and a half where they're trying to get a gift for the friends, and they're at some store. I forget the name of the store. It looks like a high-end Spencer's to me. And you see, you know, Harry sees his ex-wife. And then when they go to the friend's house, he has been completely wrecked by running into her, and he just blows up while they're trying to set up all their stuff. And, you know, it goes over that wagon wheel coffee table that his buddy wants, and they're asking him his opinion, and, you know, they're having this little, like, you know, beginning of a relationship fight, his friends are, and then he just blows up on everyone. He blows up and says, like, marriage is useless, you know, one day you wake up and you're putting your name on things and trying to divvy up, you know, each other's possessions, and then, you know, he just completely goes out of line. And when he goes outside, he is very vicious in what he says to Sally. So, you know, one of the reasons it's one of my favorite scenes is because there's a lot of, like, romantic comedies out there, or, you know, romance movies that are all very idealistic and happily ever after from beginning to start, top of endings. And even if there is some hardships, they're overcome pretty easily. But this one, it's like it's really messy. You know, there's a lot of very messy situations, and a lot of, like, even though you kind of know that they're gonna end up together, there's a lot of things that both characters do that, like, are you sure they're gonna get together? It makes you even doubt, like, you know, are they even going to end up together at the end of this movie? And especially that scene where, you know, everyone does things or says things that they regret, you know, in real life, and this shows that. And, you know, it pretty much also shows when, because Harry's talking to Sally saying, like, you know, you don't get mad at everything. You're just perfectly content and happy with everything that happens, and you never get mad. And then, and I don't know, maybe he was trying to push her buttons or something, but she ends up actually getting angry at, you know, his dumbass behavior. And she blows up on him, and, you know, they're mad, and rightfully so. So for me, that's my favorite scene. It shows the pretty good acting chops from, I would say, Billy Crystal. It's messy, it's real, and that's why it's my favorite.
Peter, do you got anything on that scene?
Oh, I actually don't have anything to say. I agree with him.
Chris?
Yeah, I just got to concur with the. With Jose, like, it's a little, it's real, you know, like, it's an intense scene, and you know, it just reminds me of, like, all the arguments that I used to have when I was married. You know, I never had an argument like that with my friend, you know, much less somebody with the opposite sex. God damn it, fucking cat. Sorry.
Do you have those fights with your cat?
You bitch!
Chris, just get rid of the fucking wagon wheel coffee table and your cat will leave you alone, okay?
I know. yeah, but there's a lot from that scene that I want to, like, hash out, you know? So we'll save it for later.
Okay, for me, I think he was just angry and he wanted to fight with somebody. That has happened to me where I'm just angry you got to take a walk or something in the past. Not all the time, obviously, unless sociopath.
I'll agree with you that that happens to you too.
But like, do you guys, serious question, do you guys like that table?
No. Not for the living room, but yeah, I like it.
Who about you, Jose? Do you like that table?
I mean, I think it's all dependent on my financial situation at the time, right? Like, would I love that table when I was completely broke and like around, you know? Like, sure, any table's great. Would I love that table now? Not so much.
I kind of like it a lot.
Oh my God.
Peter, you have a next birthday / Christmas gift right this year.
Okay, so what about did you do a worst scene, Jose?
Yeah, I think it was, you know, I did a double dip with my worst line and just completely disliked that whole scene in general. So I feel like we've already touched upon that quite a bit. I think we can move on to Chris or Peter, but I think Peter's looking up wagon wheel coffee tables on eBay. So I think Christian knows we can do a little bit more research on that.
I see one in the alley behind my house, actually.
Sweet. I'll be over there. All right, Chris, what about you, dude? Best scene?
My best scene, like I was saying before, is there's a lot of good scenes in this movie. And it's all because of the dialogue, you know, all because of the conversations that they have. So I just had to go with the first opening scene, the car ride to New York, just because it sets the tone for the rest of the movie, you know.
All right. Yeah. What about the worst scene?
Worst scene, it has to be the orgasm scene, just because it's so played out. It's like, I don't know, like I've seen it and heard about it so much that, you know, if I had gone into this movie without knowing, without that meta knowledge, you know, I don't think I probably would have been surprised by it. You know, I would have been like, I don't know.
Do you think it was poorly done?
Well, from my experience, you know, like it was overdone. Yeah.
Okay. But do you guys have anything on the orgasm scene?
Yes.
it's not what you think. Yes!
It's not what you think. Yes! All I gotta say is that was in Katz's Deli, which if you go to New York, they have like to me the best fucking pastrami sandwich in the world. So I saw this scene, obviously, millions of times before the movie. That's the only thing I knew about this movie. It was interesting. I did like the fact, and I found it interesting to get the full context behind why this was occurring. So, yeah, it can get overplayed. But to me, I saw it with a fresh set of eyes just because I had all that background to go with it. So it still felt new enough to me to see how all the pieces fit with that scene. And again, come on, it's Katz's Deli, guys. You guys got to go. If you guys have been to Katz's Deli, like, you'll change your mind on that scene, Chris. I'm telling you, get the pastrami sandwich going on and have it, and you will change your mind on that scene.
You think Chris will get an orgasm if he gets the sandwich you're recommending?
He will have at least a mouth orgasm and will, you know, think twice about, like, is it legal to marry a meat sandwich in New York? Yeah, he'll at least be Googling.
Oh my God.
Do
I'm vegan, so I'm just not gonna have for the
version. Chris, I wanna stay very hurtful and mean things to you, and I will now not do that.
I wonder if like you go there's just people orgasming all the time. You know what I mean? While you're eating, people just do that there.
Yeah, but they're a little bit more quiet about it, David.
Okay. So that was your worst scene, Chris. Where do you guys, like, I've seen this movie a lot, but where have you seen those things, like on Saturday Night Live or something? Like, where you guys say you've seen that scene?
It was in Spaceballs. It was when the guy jumps out of or the alien thing, you know, and then
in Spaceballs.
Maybe I'm wrong.
You know what, David, I think it's just been, it's such an iconic scene that it's just been become part of the pop culture zeitgeist, for lack of a better term. And I think it's been parodied like in a lot of different things. I want to say probably different skits and, you know, different, you know, shows, late night shows. You know, it's probably watch Mojo List. It's just, I think it's everywhere. Like, I can't pinpoint where I saw the scene first and tell you, just because I feel like I've seen this scene at some point in my life multiple times in various forms.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. So where are we? Is it Peter's turn? Okay, best and worst lines or scenes?
Okay. Yeah. So my best scene was when Billy Crystal was in his apartment and Meg Ryan was helping him with the carpet. And she's just there with him, like going through all his depression and shit. And they were both there for each other. It wasn't the lines or anything, but they were just both hanging out just with each other. So that was my favorite scene. And then my worst scene was when Billy Crystal was walking with his friend and they were power walking in Speedos.
It wasn't a Speedo, it was leggings. Whatever it was. That'd be really strange if they were walking with Speedos on.
Yeah, well, it looked like Speedos with like a fucking sweater on, but I see guys like on bicycles out here with Speedos on, and I tell my wife to kill me if it gets to that point with me.
But, okay. Are Speedos like basically thongs, you know? Like,
yeah.
Thongs? Oh, yeah, sorry. Not Speedos, but tigings, I guess.
Yeah.
Where it's the drools, you know? It's fucking horrible.
Okay.
So that's my best and worst.
So Peter, to recap, hates leggings on a man. Loves small talk quotes from movies. Got it.
I gotta agree with Peter. We share the same worst scene. What's that guy that does like the jazzercise thing? He's like, I'm a pony. You know, talk about from Nutty Professor.
Yeah,
Richard Simmons.
Yeah,
Richard.
Yeah.
He just has
Billy Crystal. Yeah, Billy Crystal, and they have kind of the same hair. You know, I mean, super curly hair and stuff. I didn't have to see Billy Crystal in those leggings. I could have done without it. But my best scene was on the double date, and I still laugh every time I see it when Billy Crystal tells his friend, you're like, just don't call her, wait like a week or two, okay? And he's like, all right, I'm out of here, I'm tired of walking you. And she's like, I'll go with you, and they just jump in the car 2 seconds flat and they're gone. You guys know what I'm talking about? They just like drive away in the cab. It's so quick and hilarious. And Harry and Sally are just like looking at each other and like, these fucking assholes.
Well, that you saying that kind of reinforces the ending monologue where he's like, when you want to be with somebody, you want to start it right away, you know? And they just started like right then and there because they knew it.
They just I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. We're going to jump into the double D segment of this episode, the deep dive. I know we got a lot of ground to cover, but we're going to try to keep the episode kind of short. So we're going to try to keep each person to like 5 minutes if we can.
Oh my God.
If you can try to burn through it, it's, I don't know if you can or can't, but shit. Jose There's just uploaded a picture of Billy Crystal. What's his name? Something Simmons, Richard right? Simmons. Richard Simmons. Simmons. Who is it with? Why are they together? Are they brothers or something?
Well, they look like they're not one person. David, come on.
Okay. It's disturbing. But it just proves my point. Okay. All right, Chris. Lay it down, man.
Oh, my God. I'm going to take Jose's and Peter's time and add it to my own, because I got a lot to cover and 5 minutes is not going to do it justice, dude.
Well, that's fine, because I don't have too much, so you're good.
Okay, sorry.
I'm okay as well. I mean, just, you know, intervene a few quips there depending on what they're saying, but I feel like I've said quite a bit already.
It's not a hard fast rule. I was just trying to keep this under 3 hours.
Yeah. Okay. Let me just go ahead and try to burn through the important stuff. I'll skip all the fucking, you know, the small details. So, let me start off with saying, asking this to you guys. Are movies better when they imply the sex scene and don't show it, or when they do show the sex scene in nudity?
Depends on I don't want to see Billy Crystal having sex, so I think this is better. Remember Heat, when you're seeing a hairy Al Pacino on top of another woman? You don't gotta see that, right? There's lots of good sex scenes though. Yeah, so it just depends who's naked.
Yeah, I guess
So
it's yeah, you're right. I don't know, do you guys have Peter or Jose, do you guys have anything on that?
I mean, I feel like it just has to be the context and the tone of the movie if that has to fit, you know. For example, I guess, you know, like the sex scene in Troy fits. Everyone's half naked already anyways, and it's gorgeous. Sure, if you watch that as a man, you're like, how can I even measure up to Brad Pitt and his physique? But like, you know, this movie wasn't, you know, the tone of it wasn't, you know, everyone walking around half naked, you know. It was a lot more you know, down to earth, more realistic portrayal. So it was okay without having to show normally implying it. So I feel it just depends on the movie, you know. If it fit, if it's you know, the opposite of, you know, what the tone has already been established, I think it's gonna be a bit jarring if you see half naked bodies, you know, going against the tone. So that's why I say it just depends on the context and the tone of the film it's in.
Don't know. I just feel like I would rather, now that I'm older, you know, and even when I was younger, you know, like when I was watching movies with my parents and, you know, there was a rated R sex scene, like you just don't feel like, you know, it's uncomfortable as hell, you know, like
That's way
any.
different though, watching a sex scene with
Yeah,
your parents in
but even when
the
you were, when I was like married, you know, and you want, and a sex scene, you're supposed to like not react to it, you know, when you're watching it with your partner, you know, and
No, dude, no, man, you're doing it all wrong. Like you go, you watch if you're with your significant other and you're watching a romantic comedy and then they bang, then you're supposed to bang your girl. You know what I mean? That's the
Oh
point of
my
it.
God.
Isn't it? Isn't that like the date night thing? Oh
That's why you throw on porn, dude. Fucking.
no. I think these movies are porn for girls though. You know what I mean? But I don't
Well,
know.
for my opinion, I was kind of pleased that it didn't have to show me the sex scene between Meg Ryan and Billy Crystal. It was kind of nice that it didn't drag me through that. But you guys ever see the movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding?
No, I don't remember too
Well, right,
much.
yeah, right before they have sex for the first time, it was like comical, and they were all clumsy, and I think like she jumped on him or something, like all awkward. But that's how it was, like a romantic comedy, you know. It
Guys
was.
have a Sorry, go ahead.
It wasn't like the Notebook, you know what I mean? So, but I was pleased that they didn't drag me into watching Billy Crystal like naked. It was kind of nice.
Do you guys have a good, like, what's the top sex scene in a movie?
Well, you
Like,
said it was Still Mine. You know, you said it was
yeah.
the best sex scene you've ever seen.
But is there like a great sex scene in the movie? I'm sure there is. I just can't think of any.
Oh, you said
Well,
Highlander. You guys said it was.
that one's like super realistic. I wouldn't say it's a great sex scene. But okay, we'll come back to that later, I guess, hopefully.
Okay. All right, next question, guys. Okay, so let me ask you, like, Jose, are you married?
Negative.
Okay, have you ever been married?
Negative.
Oh, wow. Okay, this will be good then. Did this movie prove that men and women can't be friends? Like, because in the beginning of the movie, you know, it's Billy Crystal, you know, has the opinion that men and women can't be friends because sex always gets in the way. You know, the guy always wants to bang the girl, you know, and in the middle of the movie, they supposedly become friends, but they eventually like have sex, you know. And so it leads me to believe that, because there's a line like when they're friends that Harry says to Sally, he says to her that you're the, you're the greatest friend that I never wanted to have sex with or something like that. But he does eventually have sex with her, which leads me to believe that he always wanted to have sex with her. He just said that, to maintain the relationship, the friendship,
I thought he was lying, like when he said that. I thought that was just a lie. That I didn't take him seriously at all when he said that.
So Jose, do you think men and women can be friends?
I only speaking for myself, I would say yes.
All right, Peter.
Again, this is just for my personal.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Jose.
Oh no, I was just saying that's just from my personal experience. I've had female friends, women friends that I didn't want to have anything other than just friendship, and some of them were attractive, and but it's still that's instead of that, I didn't want it to progress more than that or whatever. And then I think later he had that one amendment. I think I want to say right now, a lot of most of my friends that are, that are women are, they're my friends because I'm primarily friends with their significant others or their husbands or whatever.
There it is.
But no, but not all of them though. Not all of them. I'm just saying, not all of them.
Right, Peter. Can men and women be friends?
Well, like Jose was saying, I could speak for myself, but I have had some really good friends that even in school and stuff like that. I had some good, like a really good friend that was a nurse as well, and there wasn't any sexual attraction at all, but I could only speak for myself. But I believe so. Yes.
Can I answer it, Chris, before we move on real quick? I think the movie says no because they hook up at the end of it, right? But I don't think that, well, like, yes, men and women can be friends. It's possible, obviously, but I don't think that, like, speaking for myself again, like you guys, I don't think a 20-year-old guy can be a friend with a girl, you know what I mean? I 20-year-old me couldn't have had a girlfriend, like a girlfriend. Now, probably, and as I get older, I'm sure I can. You know what I mean? I'm not like we're 35 now. When I was 20, like sex was like on the top of my priorities, you know? Like seriously, and just growing older, it's like we've been having sex for more than half of our lives, you know, so it's not like the most important thing in my life. We'll see
I also want to make the note that who else could help you with girls in a perspective from an attractive girl? But that has helped and that has come in crucial on so many occasions. That's why they're a helpful friend and ally to help you fix yourself up for a thing.
So, what do you think, Chris? Can men and women be friends?
Well, like you said, like when I was younger, there's no fucking way I could have had a girlfriend, because, or a friend that was a girl, because, hormones just got in the way of it, they just fucking, and even if you wanted to have a friend like that was a girl, and you wanted to maintain that relationship, like if the rare occurrence when supposedly they didn't want to have sex with you, and then the rare occurrence happens and you guys are together, like, and maybe you guys are drunk, maybe you guys are just like sharing a close intimate like a moment together, like, and they come on to you, like it's probably gonna happen, I think 9 times out of 10, like it probably, like you guys end up having sex, like especially if they come on to you, like I don't know. Yeah. I think guys kind of have that extra bone, you know. It's probably in their dick, you know, but they're fucking where they just always got to say yes to sex, you know.
Yeah, that's can I ask a question real quick?
Yeah.
In this movie, when she's vulnerable and they sleep together, is he wrong for having slept with her? And do you think she, like, if she was, like, that's pretty much my question. Was he wrong for sleeping with her at that point?
Well, there's the old saying, you know, that a shoulder to cry on becomes a dick to lie on. You know? Oh my
God. I've never heard that saying.
Neither
no?
have
I. Oh, really? No.
That's probably going to have to be cut. But...
You and Peter. You're shit. The whole time.
All right,
like,
so
I feel like you guys just get together before each recording and just start things off.
Is he wrong though? Is he wrong for that?
No, he's not wrong. You know, it's natural. You know, something like that is, you know, it's okay. You know, unless you guys are both in relationships and you're married, you know, then obviously, you know. But you know, if you're friends, you know, then there's gonna be that.
Go ahead. It's kind of asking, do you think he took advantage of her? Is my question. Let's jump to this. We'll come back to you, Chris. Pierre, what do you think?
Yeah, she was in a relationship with the other guy.
I think they both were. But so, do you think that he took advantage of her though in that scene?
Well, I think I don't think they should have did it in that scene. But I mean, she's a grown ass woman, and she went on to him. It's not. I mean, it was a mutual. Decision. I don't think he took advantage of her.
Okay. What about you, Jose?
I think that's part of the reason why they fought, right? It's because, yeah, they both had kind of a fault in that, but I think they both felt gross afterwards. If you really objectively looked at it, like, in a way, you know, yeah, he kind of took advantage of her in a vulnerable situation, but in another way, she was like maybe trying to, you know, have that emotional relationship, you know, like she needed emotional support, and that's all that she wanted to extract from him. I don't know, it was weird. It feels like they both kind of got a weird thing out of it. And yeah, they both can, from what it can be seen on film, they both consented. So from that standpoint, yeah, that's fine. But I still feel like it was, I don't know.
Yeah,
when it's all said and done, that's part of the reason why they fight. And then also, just to make matters even worse, I mean, they've been friends for so long, so I think that's what caused the big rift in their relationship when they really look at it objectively and like, what did we do? What did we actually, was that right? Was that wrong? And I feel like that was one of the clever things that this film did, is because they make it ambiguous to, you know, the public, an underlying discomfort there on, was it morally, ethically right to do so? Well, it was enough to cause a rift in their relationship on top of them being friends, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think like, it doesn't mean anything to him. Like, even the dinner, he's just like chewing like a goat, you know? Like, with not a thought in his brain, right?
Oh, I think it meant a lot to him. Something. Right after,
I don't think it meant anything. Like, I think it means something, but he's just like at, like he lets it go like nothing.
Well, I think he thought it was a mistake because he was like,
I know, but
laying
like,
in bed after, like, what the fuck should I do? When can I leave?
Yeah, and then also, like, to go on with what Peter said, like, maybe I think I forgot who said it. I don't know if it was you, David, or you, Peter, or you say that. The whole movie, he's had it in his head that he wanted to sleep with her, right? And I think that part of him, you know, knowing that it was a mistake or feeling uncomfortable at the dinner, was that I don't think that's the way he wanted that first time to go, or that wasn't the ideal situation in which he wanted to sleep with her. Because of, again, the very, you know, moral ambiguity, how ambiguous it was morally in that whole situation that led to them sleeping together. And I think he's pondering that, and I feel that's part of the reason why, you know, at dinner he's kind of within his thought, because I feel like it did mean something to him, but he wanted it to be, if it was going to be a moment that he was going to sleep with her, he didn't want it to be that way, I think. I think that's one.
Okay. All right, Chris.
Okay.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah, let's move on to the next debate. So, do couples stay together because they actually love each other? Do they stay together for long periods of time, like decades? Like, I'm talking like long, because throughout the movie, they show, you know, these moments of married couples, you know, sharing their story of when they first met and how long they've been together. And so I'm wondering, like, do they actually love each other for that, like, throughout the entire time? Or do they just put up with each other because they're afraid of starting over?
So you're talking about this movie? Yeah. I know this is a Valentine's Day episode, Chris. Come on.
Chris is trying to get me divorced, like, right now.
Chris, what is up with you and your agenda today,
man? I do not. I have a very...
The shoulder you cry, the genital you lie, for love, it's just for convenience. Being a very downer right now, Chris.
Can I go? I'll try to make it quick. I think that divorces are skyrocketing. I think that that relationships in general, it's always a challenge to work through stuff, but I think it's always a goal. I don't know how to describe this. I've seen the real thing, and I think you're lucky to get it. I think it's something to try to get, if that makes sense. I think it's worth trying than not trying.
You want to go next, Jose?
Well, it's very hard to put a blanket statement over anything, you know? And it feels like a cop-out, but I just feel like it just depends on the relationship and the people. I feel like, it also, I think, really depends on how you define love. You know, what is love? If you're talking about like that quote unquote honeymoon phase where it's just all about, you know, this super intense, you know, love mixed with lust and all that, like, yeah, that eventually fizzles out in every relationship. You know, true love, unconditional love that you have for kids. I mean, it's all different. So I think it just depends on the relationship. You know, some people that do find it do stay in love for that long amount of time. There's others that are doing it just for convenience, you know, with one of the persons in a relationship, you know, doing the heavy lifting in terms of, let's say, financial success. So they want to stay in quote unquote love so they can have that security. Others do it out of fear of leaving it. You know, they say it's love, they've been married together, but they're fearful for what will happen if they leave, whether the other person will harm them or themselves. Some people do it for the children. So I think when these relationships last decades and decades long, I think every couple and each couple has their own reasons. If you're boiling down to like the idealistic view of like, you know, true love, I feel like, yeah, I think it's out there. I think it's one thing that's not like just easily done, like in a Disney or fairy tale. I think, like David said, it's a lot of work. It's relationships, two people. So if people are willing to work for it, they can, you know, achieve that. And, you know, at the end of the day, it comes down, it's like, you care about enough about this other person that you're going to put up with their bad days. And also at the end of the day, you're going to have way much more happier times with that person than you are going to have bad times. I think that's my answer.
Yeah,
that was really good.
What about you, Peter? Can you top that?
Probably not. Yeah. But I was gonna say, like, a lot of people have the perception of that it's not. It should be effortless to be with somebody for 50 years, right? Or 5 or 10 or however long. But it's not effortless. Being in love with somebody actually takes a lot of work, and a marriage takes a lot of work, and you actually have to try really hard to be in a marriage, and if you're not willing to put that effort in or the time, then it's never going to work. But it definitely is not effortless. You could be in love for 50 years or 65 years or however long. But yeah, there's a misconception that it's just going to fall into place, and it doesn't, if that makes sense.
That makes total sense, and I could totally relate, even though I'm not married, because I'm a Phoenix Suns fan, and I love them. And we've been through a lot of really, really bad times. But, you know, there's been some really good times in there, too, so, and I wouldn't trade it for the world, Peter.
I would divorce
Phoenix Suns. All right.
I'm just kidding.
Let's try to wrap this up in 10 minutes or less.
Okay, let me just do one last note and on this subject. So I believe in the idea of entropy, and according to that law, everything in the universe falls apart, degrades, and nothing renews. Nothing ever like gets better with time. So I believe we're all victims of it, you know? And, you know, from my experience, you know, nothing good ever really lasts, you know? and this movie is kind of like an unrealistic, like, portrayal, you know? Like, it did show those scenes where, like, these, where these couples are like, you know, sporadically thrown into the movie, and they're kind of showing like, oh, like, oh, we were married, we met in like 1957, and we've been married for like 40 years, you know, and it's unrealistic, you know. I look at my parents, you know, like they should have got divorced like 30 years ago, but according to their laws of religion and, you know, they're being from a product of their times, you know, divorce isn't really an option, you know? And like David said, like nowadays is different. Like people are getting divorced like left and right, you know, I'm a statistic, you know, of that. And like Peter said too, you know, like if, you know, when you first fall in love, you know, it's like effortless, you know, and then you have to work at it. And then you have to like, you know, you have moments where you have to put up with your partner, you know, it's not always easy, and it's never going to get easier. Like, I don't know. This is probably like this is probably not a last good note to this podcast, especially for Valentine's Day.
What's the question?
It's though? All good, man. It's what you think.
Yeah. What's your question though, Chris?
I think the question is, should we ever find a significant other? You saying that's the question.
I don't know. I'm looking to be proven wrong, you know, like I'm still open to, you know, when I went through my divorce, like it hit me really hard, you know, I pushed people away. And like how we're saying earlier, you know, like Peter in your best scene, you know, when they were like just two friends, like being there for each other, yeah. You know, like helping each other move into or reorganize the apartment. Like I'm looking for something like that, you know. I'm looking for a best friend that I can spend the rest of my life with. Right now, I don't really see it happening, but you know, I'm open to it.
All right, can we?
Oh, wait, what's your question though? Is there a question?
No, there wasn't a question. I was just going on to the adding on to my original question.
Do you mind if I say something there?
Yeah, I was just trying to power through. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, like we were saying earlier, you know, you got to work at it and make sacrifices and all that. But I think I think if you find somebody, Chris, that you have to put up with and that you have to compromise with, if those little parts of joy are worth it, then it's going to be worth it, you know. If it's not, then it's just misery. But if you can find that special person that that even right before you go to bed, you have a little bit of joy with or something, you know, then it makes all the compromise and all the work worth it. But, and hopefully somebody that you meet that you guys could grow together with, you know, and you have to work at the growing together part, or else, you know, a lot of people just grow apart. But
all right, Perry, let's jump into your deep dive. You want to run through it?
It's not much. I already talked. Well, Chris brought up a lot of things I was going to say, but this movie does touch up on like a lot of depression, and I like the aspect of them just being friends for each other. You know, being able to call each other, watch movies. You know, just hanging out and being there for each other. I think. I just wanted to say it was nice watching that on film. And the other thing I was going to say is that this is totally a guy's romance movie, right? This damn is not, Peter. No, am I wrong? Am I wrong? Because you said no, you liked just, it, but I don't
you think... You said the same thing in my other review from the last Valentine's Day.
But Jose, you think this is a guy's romance movie, though, or am I wrong?
I feel like it, yeah, it has a lot of heavy tinges of guyness in it. I mean, Harry's whole character, you start really to dissect it. It's like, you know, it's almost like, because you know, he's a quote unquote player. He plays the field, right? And Sally knows this about him. They still end up together. So, like, what message are you trying to send to me there, Mr. Rob Reiner? Yeah. But who would this appeal to? You know, the guy who wants to sleep with multiple women, but ultimately end up with the good gal that's good enough to marry. So I can see that being a valid point.
All right, that's the end of my deep dive.
Okay. All right, Jose, you're up.
I'm not going to say too much. I did want to touch up, though, upon the vignettes. I thought they were done very, it was great. They were done just superbly. I feel like it kind of set the table for what was going to happen throughout the preceding scenes. And I just thought it was interesting looking at all the different couples and, you know, the way that they were interact. Some of them, you know, answer the questions in tandem. Some of them try to talk to each other. Some of them, it's like only one person is talking. So I thought that was an interesting little thing. And it was weird too. One of them had the guy that married his wife and then went out with like several different people who he couldn't remember, then ended up with his wife that he first married that got divorced and back together again. So weird. And then
yeah, he doesn't belong. That one doesn't belong in this movie. Everyone else was in love. That guy was a dick.
Yeah, but that wife remembered.
That guy was Harry. That guy was Harry. He played the field. Also, the vignettes showed us like how easy it was to get married. One of the vignettes was like, oh, yeah, I saw her in the cafeteria. I said, hey, she looks good. I'm going to marry her. And then 2 weeks later, we're married. Like, the hell? That's not going to happen. You know? You can't do that nowadays. You're going to get yourself a restraining order, sir.
All right, David, your deep dive.
I think the third time that Harry and Sally meet each other, after you remember when they're walking in the park and she asks him out to dinner, she said, would you like to have dinner with me? I don't know if you guys remember that part, but I think she's asking him to dinner because he's not trying to sleep with her for the first time that they've known each other. He's really depressed and he just wants to talk to somebody about being heartbroken. And then I think that when she does sleep with him, it's because she does care about him a lot, you know what I mean, if that makes sense. And when she's mad at him, I was talking to Casey like towards the end of the movie where she doesn't want to talk to him, she's ignoring him. I was like, why is she like, she shouldn't be ignoring him? That's kind of messed up, you know what I mean? And Casey disagreed with me about that. I was kind of like, I think that in that time, Harry just wanted things to go back to normal, just to have her as a friend, right? He just like he probably would be okay with not sleeping with her anymore. He just missed her a lot. He didn't realize that he loved her at that moment until she said, "I'm not your consolation prize." And then he was like, "I lost my friend and I realized that I'm in love with her. So I'm going to tell her. I got to tell her that I love her because I don't want to spend the rest of my life without her." Before I move on, do you guys have anything to say about any of that I just spilled?
Yeah, I think you're wrong about everything, but go ahead.
Okay. Do you guys remember the airport making out scene with Sally and Joe?
Yeah.
And the making out scene at the beginning of the movie. I think it's the opening scene, not the opening scene, but with Billy Crystal and his girlfriend from college. Have you guys ever made out with someone like that in public before? You're just standing there, what seems for like 5 minutes, just sucking on each other's faces. Have you guys ever done that in public?
No.
No, I don't think so.
I plead the fifth.
I have never done that. It just seems like really crazy to me. I don't know.
Yeah, Jose is like, I won't kiss in public, but I'll bang in public.
I plead the fifth.
I think the last thing, well, I guess we'll just leave it there. So this is where we're going to jump into the ratings of this film. I think Chris is going to be pretty low, so we'll start with him.
Of course it's going to be low. He hates love. He just said so. His thesis was that everyone dies, nothing lasts forever, and why am I watching this movie?
I think, I think that he's right that everything doesn't last. But like we're all just dust in the wind, right?
Yeah, but you know, at least for Valentine's Day, we can put up the guys, Chris. Come on. Like, you know, read the
But I think that for the short amount of time we have, that if that's your goal to find true love, it's a worthwhile endeavor. But all right, Chris, give your crappy rating.
Yeah. So lucky for you, David, like I don't score movies on a personal preference, you know. So like I try to take my my own personal belief and opinion out of the equation. So I'm gonna give this movie an 8.
Holy crap, that's the best he's ever given me. I think the best he's given me is like a 5.5 in any of my fucking movies. Hallelujah. All right, Jose.
All right. So first time watching this movie again. Not a lot of preconceived notions. I actually have very little knowledge of Rob Reiner. I've seen A Few Good Men, but I didn't even know that was him until today when you guys were discussing his films. So, and I haven't seen any of his other stuff. All that being said, I did enjoy the movie. Like, it wasn't something that I felt like I had to get through. Like, I was enjoying, like, the watching of the scenes and, you know, wanted to see where it went and everything. I'm going to give it a few knocks on a few things. I still think for all his charm, the Harry character sucks. And... Yes, and then that again, the cringy women lunch date was just like, oh, it's so dated. But that being said, it is a iconic and classic. So through my calculations, I'm going to give this a solid 8, David.
Sweet. All right.
Nice.
So I'm up, Peter. Yep. Yeah, I didn't think I was going to be the one that rated it the lowest. No, it's a good movie, and it has a lot of comedy in it, which keeps it rolling, and a lot of good conversations as well. I'm gonna give it a solid 7. I think I'll rewatch it again, but it's not gonna be every year. It's not one of those films, but it was definitely worth watching.
I think I know what dropped that year rating from the 8 that me and Chris gave it to 7. It was that you just hate leggings that much, don't you, Peter?
All right. I before the rating, I forgot to tell you guys. Do you remember the lady that says, "I'll have what she's having"?
Yeah.
That's Holy Rob shit. Reiner's mother. He got his mom to say that line. Yeah.
Oh my God.
You think a 10 is coming, Chris, right now?
Probably like a 9.5.
I always give my movies 10s.
Well, buy as much?
No, it's just I love the movies that I pick. I always get I watch this movie a lot. I think it's unlike any other movie in good ways. I think I'm going to give it a solid 9 right now. But I'm probably going to kick myself later because I do watch it all the time. I usually have a rule. If I watch it more than 10 times, I'll give it a 10 because something like. So that was our Valentine's Day movie for you guys. I hope you guys liked it and you guys are going to get your girlfriends and make sweet love this Valentine's Day. anything you guys got to add before we click off?
Yeah. Valentine's Day is an artificial holiday. And
anything, Peter, Jose?
Don't listen to Chris. He's a party pooper, even though it is the truth. Just, hey, you're significant. But it doesn't just have to be in February. It could be, the whole year round. So just enjoy this with whatever you guys want.
Yeah, I was gonna say, holy fuck, I forgot what the hell I was gonna say.
Come on, give us a poem. Recite a poem.
Okay. Holy fuck.
Roses is red, violets are
blue. I'll say one. Roses are red, violets are blue. If you were a Pokemon, I'd choose you.
Yeah. That's sure to get the girls, guys. Try that line.
And then next year, I think Chris picks a Valentine's movie.
Yeah, no. We'll try to stack it like we do the Halloween movies next year.
Peter, what's the next movie?
I'm not sure. Yeah, I got like 3 different ones I want to throw out, but I'll let you know tonight.
And see, David had a nice little tradition going at the end of a carry. He already told us what movie he wanted, and I was waiting to get the unveiling.
Have you guys seen Card Counter? I think it's called.
No.
Counting Cards?
Yeah. Have you seen that?
No.
Fuck, it's so good, guys. It's really dark. Chris will love it.
Hell yeah. I'll get
but it is a little bit disturbing. But it's a good fucking movie. It's on HBO. But I think it's called Card Counter or something like that.
So check it out. It might be okay. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I love it. So you guys might fucking hate it. But all right, guys. Anything else before?
For people looking to watch this movie, you can find it on HBO Max as well. Yep. I had a hard time looking for it, a digital copy or a hard copy. So yeah, it's on HBO Max.
Well, for now, Chris, for now, until our corporate overlord decide that they're gonna remove it without telling anyone,
we
don't
know anything anymore. We have to do like a party review, like of a movie with the four of us get together, and I don't know, we'll dress up as amigos, the three amigos or something.
Like do the pod like live or watch the movie?
I don't know about do the pod. We've done that in the past, but we should at least watch the movie. Movie because these guys fucking hate my movies when we watch my movies.
I would love to do like a watch, like all like, we're just going in on the same room and whatever.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, Chris has been wanting to do like a recent movie too. Like a new release.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Anything else?
Nope.
Nope. Thank you.
Nope, that's all.
See ya.
Bye, guys.
All right, later.